bringing it back to your house. I want to talk a little bit about this time of year. One of the tactics you can apply in your backyard to make the backyard, in particular the back patio, more inviting and more comfortable. Over the years, Jennifer and I have been in the same home now for about 40 years. So, you know, you do a little each year, and we've basically made our back patio an extension of the house. It's got roll-down sunscreens to block the sun and create some privacy, as well as once you create the environment in that space, it holds it in just a little bit better. We've got a big screen TV out there. We've got some comfortable chairs and a dinette table. I'll tell you, this time of year, we go out there at the end of the day, and the first thing I'll do is I'll go kind of walk through my garden and kind of check it, and that's how I kind of officially end my work day. Then I come back to the patio, and Jennifer and I will sit on the back patio. But the first thing we do before we sit down is I turn my misting system on. And we have measured in our backyard that under the shaded patio with the misting system on, the ambient temperature can be as much as 30 degrees cooler than standing out in the middle of the yard. So on a day that's 100 to 105 degrees, I can take my patio down to below 85, 80 degrees, approaching 75 degrees. And we sit out there, and we've gotten in the a newfound habit of clipping news articles that we want to just visit with each other about and get each other's opinion. And what have you heard on this topic? And what have you heard on that topic? And or we'll sit there and start the big screen TV, click on a Pandora channel, turn on our favorite music, and just visit about what's the next grandchildren event we've got coming up. Oh boy, we got a good week coming up. We got all the grandkids staying at our house next week. Man, this is going to be a blast. But the misting system is what just begs us to get out of the kitchen, out of the breakfast room, out of the dining room, and go sit outside, listen to the birds, watch the breeze blow through the oleanders, the mesquite, and the Palo Verde trees. Just enjoy the reflection of the swimming pool and each other's company. Now, it won't cool your outdoor patio 30 degrees in any environment. You've got to have a warm temperature. You have to have a low humidity. And you have to have a very slight or modest breeze. At the point a breeze picks up, above 10 to 15 miles an hour, it greatly reduces the effectiveness of the misting system. Anytime the humidity starts sneaking above 30, 35, or especially 40%, it really impacts the ability of a misting system. But a part of our yard is a big sand volleyball court. And you get a church youth group over there playing volleyball, and man, it kicks up enough dust to cover the whole neighborhood. But you turn that misting system on and the sprinkler system on and wet it down a little bit, and it makes all the difference in the world. Misting systems can be fog machines strategically located in critical areas around your backyard to create some really cool effects. As a misting system, generally speaking, you want them placed up high, pointing down, and you want to be pushing it out at such a high pressure that there are no water droplets falling all the way to the ground. The ground, the patio, the pavers below your misting system should virtually be staying dry. The high pressure sent through incredibly small orifices that are generally ceramic, not brass, actually atomizes the water and turns it into such microscopic fine droplets that is what's cooling the air. And it's not creating a moisture problem on your patio. So a misting system that you buy as a do-it-yourself kit that installs with 125 PSI PVC pipe that simply connects to your 60 PSI water system at the back faucet isn't ever, ever going to do it. You need a compressor pushing 1,000 PSI through stainless steel pipes, pushing it out incredibly small, special orifices that are made of ceramic. And I'll tell you, if you have a water softener on your home, it's going to make it incredibly lower maintenance. So with my system, I take the heads off about once a year, soak them in a little bowl of CLR just to kind of clean them up a little bit. I replace the filtered three-part system that my water softener feeds, and that's about all the maintenance the equipment needs. The compressor is good for years and years and years. So misting systems applied strategically to the right areas, though I've seen them actually out in the yard where the homeowners like to have their favorite reclining chairs or their hammock, and they'll actually mist up, cooling the ground area in that immediate vicinity. That works very well, too. A good misting system, the pump motor will cost you about $1,000. The motor will cost you that. Then you want to push it through only stainless steel tubing, only out ceramic orifices. All available for the do-it-yourselfer, but there are certain calculations you need to know about surface area, height above the ground, the wind direction, all of those, how many heads per run, how far a run you can make, all things that need to be considered to truly get a great working misting system. I love ours. I really do.
And that pump is key. We were at some friend's house recently who had a misting system that was just plugged into the hose. And when we were outside, I went and sat over it, and they're like, "Guy, Dad, why sit close to the mister?" I'm like, "Uh-uh, just sit here and watch. Nobody's going to stay there more than 2 minutes because you just get soaked. It's uncomfortable. And
now you're hot and soggy."
We were eating, and you don't want soggy food. And sure enough, I mean, these misters ran almost the whole time. And within the first few minutes, there was nobody sitting around it. And, some people are like, well, misters and water, is that a good use? Well, to generate electricity uses a lot of water. And the amount of electricity it takes to run your pump is... for your misters versus your air conditioner, your misters is actually using less water than your air conditioner is because of how little electricity the pump uses.
And so you're pushing that through quarter-inch stainless steel lines out of microscopically small orifices. So, I mean, you're using a gallon of water to cool several hundred square feet of outside area. And once you cool that area against the outside wall of your home, you're greatly reducing the BTU load on your house. So for all those reasons, we love misting systems.
With a proper misting system, so let's say you maintained it perfectly, it could last 10 years, couldn't it?
I'm at over 10 years there on my system right now. I'm at close to 20 years on my misting system.
And I've got a question about our misting system at home. I don't think I've ever paid close enough attention. Are the misters on the outside of the shades or on the inside? And what was the decision to put the placement, because I know that's key.
That is key. We point all the misters to the outside of the patio because of the orientation of our patio. The prevailing breeze blows back in. So we're pushing the mist out away from the patio and then allowing the natural prevalent breezes to then evaporate and then blow the cooler air back in across the patio.
Does that require any additional maintenance for the sunshades? Does the water drip down those at all and affect those?
Well, and in fact, we do have roll-down sunshades, then we turn the misters on. I couldn't do that if we weren't water softening the water first. It would literally eat the sunshades apart. So we do have a question on misting systems, and I do want to get to the rest of the unanswered questions on paintbrushes and types of paint. Let's bring Audrey into the conversation, see what kind of misting dilemma we can answer for them.
Hi, Rosie.
Hello.
Thank you so much. I listen to your show. Hi, Rosie. Hi, this is Audrey. I listen to you guys every day.
Thank you.
I mean, every weekend.
Okay, all right.
I have a question for you. My father does have the compressor, and he has the steel rods and all that, and it does very much cool down. But I noticed you mentioned something about the nozzles being ceramic, not brass. And his are brass, and I think it seems like they do clog up. Is there a reason why you suggest the ceramic and not the brass?
Well, I tell you what, Audrey, if he's invested in the stainless steel and the high-pressure pump, wherever he was buying his supplies, the little screw-on nozzle is a brass body, but the actual orifice is a ceramic. So if you'll take that little brass head off and look inside, you very well may see a white or black ceramic orifice. And those will plug up occasionally, about once a year. I take them all off. I throw them in a little bucket of CLR. I soak them for sometimes overnight, sometimes just a couple hours. And then I turn the misting system on with them off, and I blow the system out really good, turn it off, screw those clean nozzles back in. And those nozzles, I've only had to replace, I think, 3 nozzles in about 15 years. So just take one off and take a good hard look at it. If I'm guessing with the right equipment he has, whoever sold him that stuff, in fact, does have a ceramic nozzle. It just looks like brass until you really look close.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, Rosie. I really appreciate it. And you're right. It really does cool the temperature down. It makes it enjoyable. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it is. Audrey, we appreciate the call. Yeah, when Jennifer and I are sitting there kind of doing a review of the news, and she gets up and goes and puts a sweater on, and out in the backyard, it's 104 degrees. I know the misting system is doing its job. One of the other questions we were asked a lot 2 weeks ago that we never got to last week was, how long should a paintbrush last? Well, that's a loaded question. Let me talk you through the parts of a paintbrush. You all know where the handle is, right? And then you've got that metal collar that holds the bristles to the handle. That's called the ferrule. Where the bristles go into the ferrule, that's called the heel. And out at the end of the bristles, that's called the toe. The life of a paintbrush depends on two things, more importantly than anything else. Number one, the quality of the paintbrush to begin with. Okay? I will tell you that over all the years I've been in the construction business, when I'm going to go buy a new paintbrush, I generally look for a particular brand, and I generally buy Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y. Now, so you got to start with a good paintbrush. Then the next thing you got to start with is a regimented, disciplined cleaning and storage process. Where the bristles go into the handle at the collar, the ferrule, is the heel of the bristle. If you don't clean that heel, you're greatly diminishing the life of your paintbrush. So when I'm done, actually when I'm painting, I'm careful not to let any paint ever get so far up the bristle that it's in the heel, because it becomes so hard to clean. I like to keep all my paint on the lower half of the bristles down around the toe. It lets me control the paint flow off the tip of the bristle quite a bit better, particularly like in a tapered paintbrush where I'm trying to do a cut in. And it keeps it from dripping, and it keeps it from getting all boogery right there at the ferrule. I hate paint boogers. I just hate them. When you're cleaning the paintbrush and you're there buying, when you're buying the paintbrush, buy yourself a wire paintbrush cleaner. It looks like a toothbrush, but it's made out of wire. The important thing is you've got to use that metal paintbrush to comb out all of the paint out of the heel of your paintbrush. And how long can they last? The Purdy paintbrush that Jennifer and I painted our first apartment when we got married 40 years ago is still hanging in my garage, and I still use it regularly.